Hello, and thanks for joining Wicker Park Lutheran Church Sermons. Wicker Park Lutheran Church is a diverse ELCA Lutheran congregation in the Wicker Park neighborhood of Chicago. We gather at 10 a.m. to fully live into our incarnational faith as we experience God's presence in the gathered assembly, and we welcome you to join us. In just a moment, you'll first hear with a gospel reading from the associated sermon for the service that you're about to listen to. We hope that that gospel gives you some context before you jump right into the sermon. Thanks for checking us out, and we hope to see you soon.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying,
Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.
When he saw them, he said to them,
Go and show yourselves to the priests.
And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked,
Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?
Then he said to him,
Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well.
The Gospel of the Lord. Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our strength, our water, and our Redeemer. Amen. To truly understand this text, we have to dive a little bit into the historical context. And so I don't know if y'all know much about the Samaritans and the Galileans, but they had this long-standing enemy. And in fact, they had been enemies since the 8th century BCE. That's a really long time. And they argued because they were different ethnicities and they also had different religious traditions. So for example, the Jews believed that Jerusalem was the place to worship. But on the other hand, the Samaritans believed that Gerizim, the sanctuary on Mount Gerizim, was where that one should worship. And this angered the Jews so much that in the 2nd century BCE, the Jews went and they destroyed that temple. And so that did not make the problems any better. And this conflict lasted even to this time. We hear it today in the story. It lasted so strongly that people, when they were traveling to Jerusalem, would go all the way around Samaria, even though it made it significantly longer. They could not be in the same space together. And what else is peculiar about this text is that it says that Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. There is no region between Samaria and Galilee. They are right next to each other. And so I just think that that's very peculiar, and it points to something else. David Lowe believes that it is a theological rather than geographical indication. It shows that in Christ's reign, a middle space is created, a middle space of healing, a middle space that once was filled with violence and strife between two people, two nations, is now a place of healing and of deep peace. This is the space, this middle space is where Jesus is often found. And this middle place is oftentimes a place of deep healing for the marginalized. And this is a story that has lepers, and I don't know if many, who knows much about lepers? All right. Well, if you had leprosy, you were shunned out of the community. You were completely isolated. You were not allowed to be around your family. You were not allowed to be in your worshiping community. You were not even allowed to be in your town. Having the disease of leprosy completely isolated you. You experienced shame because of that. You were named unclean. And so Jesus, just by allowing them to approach him, is breaking down boundaries. And not only does he allow them to approach, but then he speaks to them. This is Jesus doing what he does best, right? Breaking down all of these boundaries and not feeding in to the what is right and what is wrong according to Jewish tradition. And even more, we hear that at least one of these lepers is a Samaritan. And they were not supposed to talk to each other. So this Samaritan that has leprosy is doubly marginalized, but yet he is the only one that goes back to Jesus for praise and thanksgiving. We hear that he responds to his healing by turning around, praising God, prostrating himself in front of Jesus, and thanking him. He has been healed. He no longer has to live in isolation. So he has been reconciled not only with God in that encounter, but with the entire community. He can go back to living his life, but not in the same way. He is forever changed by that encounter. Jesus has completely transformed his life. So how could he not praise God? This is a greater theme of Luke, talking about how God acts in the marginalized. God shows and teaches us lessons through the marginalized. A story of God's work of radical healing being responded by thanksgiving and praise happens throughout the gospel. It happens when Mary's response to the foretelling of her pregnancy. It happens with the shepherds at Jesus' birth. It happens when the hemorrhaging woman is cleansed of her ailment. It happens when the woman has anointed Jesus' feet. And it happens at his death with the response of the centurion. These are just a couple of the stories. If you look through, you can find so many stories of Jesus interceding into the lives of others and them responding with great thanks and praise for all that God has done. Oftentimes, they respond with more thanks and praise than those of privilege do. And we have these stories too. Stories of generations of marginalized folks sharing their experience of healing and salvation with praise and thanksgiving. The place where I see this most often is by looking into the words of African American spirituals. There is one in particular that we are going to sing right now, and I encourage you to just listen and join in. We're going to sing it, just the refrain, through twice. Listen and join in if you know it, or it is in the ELW, it is 459. So here we go. Just by listening to the words of that, it might be difficult to see and to hear the story of salvation and liberation of freedom from those words. But it was a story that was passed around enslaved communities, and it had a double meaning. The first was a transmission about the Underground Railroad. And what was neat was that it talked about this water, this boundary, what I think of as a middle ground, being a place of safety. Because when an enslaved person may have gone missing, the bloodhounds would go after, but if they got to the water, if they could wade in that water, the dog would not be able to smell them. And so that water, that middle ground, that boundary was a place of freedom. And in the verses of that song, it refers to Moses. And oftentimes, Harriet Tubman is referred to as the Moses of her people. And Harriet Tubman is the one that says, "If you don't believe that I've been redeemed, follow me down Jordan's stream." This was the promise of physical freedom. that was passed through this song. And then the other context that it means is about baptism. Because baptism is all about being freed, being born anew. Slaveholders were often hesitant to allow enslaved folks to get baptized. And so it was an act of resistance to do what we did today. It was an act of resistance for these enslaved folks to go down to that river and to baptize their children. This baptism was an act of spiritual resistance, and they did it anyways, inspired by the words of that song we just sang. There's many other spirituals that focus on how good God has been in their lives. Songs of praise and thanksgiving, songs of joy after receiving new life out of death. They show us something about how God works in the world. God works in the world indeed by truly troubling the water. And we have seen God's action in the water today. We have heard the stories of God intervening throughout all of history, being with Noah and his family and the four-legged creatures and delivering them from those waters, bringing new life to the Israelites, sending a Savior into this world through the waters of Mary's womb. And we saw Amelia cleansed of all sin, just as the lepers were cleansed of their ailments. And in response to the sacrament of baptism, we all responded that we would give thanks and praise to God for having her as a beloved sister in our body of Christ. We respond by giving thanks and praise for what God does right here. Because how can we not praise God for this? How can we not, knowing that our healing and our salvation is not bound up with anything we do, but it is a gift that God so freely gives? A gift of healing, like Jesus did with that leper. New life, where all are reconciled and to one another and God. And because of this gift of freedom and new life in Christ through these waters, we are given the joyous opportunity to join Mary, the shepherds, the hemorrhaging woman, the centurion, and the Samaritan cured from leprosy. We have the joyous opportunity of joining in praise and thanksgiving for all God has done and continues to do. And for that, we say thanks be to God. Amen.